Blog Talk Radio.
If you didn't care, what happened to me? I didn't care. But you, we would zigzag away through the bottom of pain, occasionally glancing up through the rain, wondering which of the foe is to blame. And watching the pigs on the wing,
good evening and welcome to Weekly Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're here to slice and dice a little bit of pork rind.
Oh, yeah, I like pork. Yeah.
We actually got a full house of things to do today.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool.
Do you want to do politics or disaster? You know, good disaster movie is always, you know, something good.
Well, you know, those are all good, and there's no reason we can't do both.
Disasters, politics, politics, disasters.
Yeah. And they're probably equally as applicable to everything.
Okay. Planes run into a building, and George Bush is at fault because it happened on his watch.
I am sure.
Okay. Oil rig explodes and burns in the Gulf of Mexico. And it's not Barack Obama's fault?
Nope. Nuh-uh. Nope. Absolutely not. Got to be Bush. I mean, you know, Cheney probably swam down there and kicked it all to hell apart, and there you go.
Okay. Somebody said to me over the weekend, and I disputed the point. Their point was that this is going to become a political football. And I said it has already.
Okay.
Well, my argument was that the only way it becomes a political football is if we accept the premise that there is something political to be made out of, you know, an industrial accident disaster.
Yep. Absolutely. And by the way, so far there's only been two birds that have been oiled that I know of. That have been reported on.
You know, my issue is, and I know you've seen it, and people have been saying it for the last couple of days, you know, that as far as I'm concerned, drill baby drill is still perfectly fine.
Yep.
One oil rig crashing and burning is not going to change that.
Nope.
No more than, you know, a 15 car wreck on, you know, I-5. California is going to stop Californians from driving.
Any more than
a plane crash in Poland is going to cause, you know, airlines to be grounded for the rest of our lives.
No, not a bit. Yep.
You know,
and you know what?
Ecological disasters. We've got a volcano still blowing its top.
Exactly. And you know what? If you don't like offshore drilling, you know what, Dems? It was you guys that insisted that we not drill in Anwar.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know how much you know about this rig. Let's talk about
this rig. Not a heck of a lot. I know that South Korea built it, and it was leased by BP.
Right.
Other than that, I don't know a heck of a lot about it.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about this rig. First of all, it's a floating rig, which means it's not anchored to the seafloor.
Right.
The rig is held in position by global positioning and powerful thrusters on the rig that maintain its position to within 5 feet, you know, no matter what's going on.
Yep. And apparently it has an umbilical cord that goes down to the drill to the wellhead.
It's in 5,000 feet of water, so it's in a mile of water.
Yep.
It is drilling to a depth of 13,000 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
It was very close to being operational. The well, they were working on well casing at the time of the explosion. Now, here's some interesting things about the rig. Most of the control and drilling components are in equipment that is on the ocean floor.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily controlled from the rig. It's controlled from the rig, obviously, but the equipment controlling the well head is on the floor of the ocean. The equipment controlling the well head has three different shutoff systems in the event that pressure or something else happens to the wellhead. Those three control systems are automatic. They go off automatically. There are an additional three redundant systems controlled by the platform, the rig itself, with six separate cutoffs at six different places on the rig. So if something happens at the well, at the platform, the rig tower at the platform, and something happens there, the control room and platform control all have auto shutoffs of the well head so that, you know, people don't get caught in an explosion and then there's nowhere to get to the shutoffs.
Right.
Okay. In order for this rig to have exploded, the shutoffs, the auto shutoffs at the wellhead had to fail.
Yeah.
The auto shutoffs in the rig had to fail. And all six people that had access to shut down the wellhead on the rig had to fail to do so.
Wow.
Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Sounds like a very large system-wide failure.
Sounds like a Brad Thor novel.
So, a lot of things had to go wrong for this to have gone the way it did.
Yes, it did.
Here's the problem with shutting this wellhead off. Apparently there is no control at the wellhead. For whatever reason, they have no way to shut the wellhead off at the wellhead.
But I thought they had a blowout preventer there.
Apparently, the equipment on the ocean floor is not functioning correctly.
Aha. Okay, fine.
In order to shut this well down, they've got submersibles in the area, but apparently they cannot do it at the wellhead. So what they're having to do is they have to drill another well somewhat parallel to the well that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to cross the well that is currently spilling within 20 feet of where it enters the oil reservoir 13,500 feet down.
Oh, boy.
And then once they do that, they have to pump mud, clay, and concrete into the wellhead to try and shut off the flow. It'll take them 3 months to drill this.
Now this is in addition to this 98-ton cap that they're looking to put on the thing?
They're trying to put the cap, right, the cap is a temporary fix.
Got it. Okay.
It is not a permanent fix. It is a temporary fix.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what's happening. Of course, there's some suggestion because they're working on the well casement that the well casement is failing. And then somebody, since someone said real stupid, the whole well could collapse into the oil reservoir.
Oh, boy. Like, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah. If the whole ocean will fall in the hole.
Yep, and then we're going to have all of this desert and stuff there. Okay.
So that we're all clear of, you know, that's the issue. Now, according to Janet Napolitano and Barack Obama, they were on top of this day one.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Day one.
Don't believe it, but I've heard it.
Do you know that in 1994, the industry and the government got together and came up with a plan and a law, Congress passed a law, to go with this plan?
Don't you always love it when Congress passes a law?
What do they call that one, when they pass a law?
Yeah, isn't that kind of, I mean... Okay, we passed this law. That makes everything good.
Well, what the law was is it allows the plan to be implemented without further approval.
Okay.
And here's what the plan is. In the event of a major leak from a wellhead, they set the son of a bitch on fire.
Yep. Absolutely. Supposed to get rid of about 95% of the oil.
The key point here is it has to be done soon.
Yep.
Somewhere in the vicinity of 24 to 72 hours after the breach, depending on the weather. Okay? And this law and this plan have been in place since 1994 that nobody has to ask for anything. As soon as it happens...
As soon as
they have a wellhead breach, they can implement the plan without any further ado.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, there was some ado.
Yeah. There was a lot of doo-doo floating around there, I think.
There was a lot of ado.
Yeah.
apparently, and I don't know about this. I just kind of heard of it. Apparently, some eco groups objected to the burn because the amount of soot that would be released into the air... harm the ocean and possibly be blown over land, and so they didn't want the soot to be going there. So apparently they decided they weren't going to burn it off because of the potential for soot. I don't know that I buy that somebody asked some eco group, you know, is it all right to burn? Because, you know, this plan has been in place since 1994, and there was a whole shitload of, you know, stuff about doing this. You know, to try and prevent major disasters.
Exactly.
So, I don't think some eco group did that. I think it's possible that the White House did that.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody in the White House did that. But or in Department of Energy, somewhere along the line, somebody suggested that it wouldn't be a good idea. Anyways. Now, apparently, Rush said something today that just got everybody up in a snit.
Pretty commonplace for him.
I didn't hear it. Our new old used vehicle that we bought a week ago doesn't have a radio in it, so I just haven't been listening.
Okay.
Apparently, Rush said we should do nothing and just let Mother Nature take its course. Now, the do-nothing part I might have a small issue with, but I'm certainly up on the idea of letting nature take its course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we should try and stop the wellhead from spewing its fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think that needs to be done. However it gets done, I think that needs to be done. Cleanup is another animal. I think it would be more logical... more cost-effective if the government just paid whoever got damaged by the oil, you know, compensation. You know, if a fisherman lost his season's fishing, then if he was going to make $80,000, pay him $80,000.
Yep, yep, yep. Hey, that was nice.
Yeah. If he was going to get paid $80,000, give him $80,000. But I think the idea of, you know, the government spending a couple billion dollars trying to clean things up and then coming in to try and compensate on top of that, I think that's a waste of time and money.
You know,
millions of barrels of oil spill into the ocean every year. And it has nothing to do with drilling or tankers or anything. Folks, the earth leaks. It just leaks. It's got oil, it's got sulfur, it's got all kinds of crap just leaking.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So, you know, I mean, you know, it deals with it. What is it? Somebody came across, there's a trench along the California coast that they have evidence that the trench, deep sea trench just off the coast, has been dead at various points in history. It's been dead because the trench leaks oil like a sieve.
Yeah.
And it gets really bad, and so, you know, it's there. Now, somebody suggested that if California would just drill off its coastline enough, eventually that trench would stop leaking because the reservoirs of oil underneath it would get drained.
Yes, it would. Gosh, think about that.
But, you know, Al Gore, he simply can't take the idea of seeing rigs out in the ocean from his brand new house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his new $8 million house or however much
Montecito.
It is.
Montecito.
Everybody's
in Montecito.
Yep.
You know what happens in Montecito almost every year?
What happens?
Wildfires.
Oh, yeah.
Wildfires. Oil in the
I wonder how much stuff that puts
there.
In the air. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, do I think that Barack Obama should be accused of dereliction of duty on the oil spill? No.
Nah.
Finally, no. You know, first of all, it's not his fucking responsibility. He's the president.
Well, it is.
No, it's not. No,
yeah,
it's not.
It is. Yes,
no,
it is.
No, it's not.
Hey.
No, it's not.
If the oil industry and the government came up with a plan to combat this kind of thing, then that kind of automatically makes it his responsibility.
Certainly makes the government's responsibility to do things.
Apparently,
they eventually decided they were going to do this.
Yeah.
And they're called fire booms.
I have heard that term. I'm not sure that I know what it is.
As I understand it, here's what it is. You know, when they're trying to corral an oil spill in water, they use these yellow booms.
Yep.
That you know that sit in the water and the oil because it sits basically on top of the water, you know, stays inside the booms. Apparently, these booms are what sets the oil on fire. It keeps the oil inside the booms, and it keeps it burning.
Cool. Works for me.
Apparently, they only had one in Louisiana.
Hmm.
One.
That could be a problem.
The whole damn state.
Yeah, right.
And so they called the company that makes them, and the company that makes them had exactly one in stock.
Oh, boy. Well, I bet their business is booming.
So apparently, even if they had wanted to do that, they would have been almost impossible to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they just throw flares into the damn stuff. But of course, once the waves started picking up, that
yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So you think that Obama has some culpability? Frankly, I don't.
Only from the standpoint that if the government and the industry got together and they formulated a plan, then
that plan should have been gone off, and the government should take responsibility if they did not in fact implement that plan. Don't disagree.
Exactly. Yep.
Don't disagree with you. But it's probably as high as it's going to go is Napolitano, as far as that's concerned.
That could be. All I'm saying is, if you want to talk about the regime, then yeah, the regime had an obligation. Once they came up with that plan, they had an obligation to, in fact, see that through.
Okay. Now,
regime. Regime sounds good.
Now, I'm going to shift this just a little bit. We're going to stay on the theme, and now I'm going to be less forgiving of Barack Obama.
Okay.
Okay. Apparently, sometime last Wednesday or Thursday, God got pissed at Tennessee.
Oh, man.
Woo-hoo. And he's been dumping it serious time onto Dennis.
Yep.
Tennessee, Kentucky, northern Mississippi, parts of Arkansas, Louisiana.
Yep.
And,
which is to say nothing of the tornadoes.
It's just, wrath of God, raining cats and dogs, and lots of flooding, flooding in Nashville, serious flooding in Nashville. Lots of problems with dams, over flooding and bursting. Just an altogether serious mess. And where has been Barack Obama? Busy! He's been busy!
Yeah.
Leave him alone!
Oh,
he's
yeah, that, there you go. That's it. Busy.
Busy. He's been busy. One disaster at a time. He can't handle two. He's been busy.
Okay, fine.
Okay. This has been an example where there has been virtually no federal response.
Yep.
And
at least not timely federal response.
And Obama has completely and utterly. I heard today that he released a written statement. It's terrible that they've been flooded.
Yep. I also understand that he called a couple of the state governors. But that's been like the last day, maybe.
The last day. This has been going on for days.
Oh, yeah.
Days and days and days.
Yep.
I have a problem with this. Okay? This is real simple. This happens in the United States every spring. We have somebody, catches all holy hell as far as rains are concerned, and parts of the United States flood.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Usually
you hear about it. You hear about it in conjunction with the Mississippi or something, but nevertheless.
Mississippi, Missouri, Ohio. Flooding is flooding. In the Midwest, in the spring, flooding is flooding. It happens. This is not unusual. This is not difficult. Flooding, okay, make sure we've got FEMA going in there, we've got some things going in there, say it's really bad, terrible, we'll do what we can to help, thank you very much, goodbye. And, he'd be done on Thursday.
Oh,
40 minutes, done. Oh,
yeah.
He's paying attention to that, okay, great.
Couldn't do that.
He's been busy.
Busy.
One disaster at a time. One disaster.
Kind of comes down to core competencies, doesn't it?
Delegation of authority? No. Taking advantage of the people surrounding you? No.
Yeah.
So, while this is all going on, Bloomberg.
Yeah. Know where you're going.
had, had a brain fart on Sunday night. Was it Sunday night? It was Sunday night, right? Sunday night, yeah.
Bloomy
had a brain fart on Sunday night, and apparently the mainstream media caught whiff of it and farted itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the vomit spewing proceeded as it flared out from New York when a SUV found on Times Square smoking and sparking and spittering and sputtering turned out to be full of, well, like fertilizer and gas and, you know, propane and wires and, you know, things. And, of course, the first description was a 40-year-old white male running from it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And here comes Bloomy's
brain fart. Who was obviously pissed off about health care or something, according to Bloomy.
Apparently, some Tea Party radical decided that he hated Viacom. How did I bring up Viacom? Well, you know, the damn vehicle was parked in front of Viacom's building in New York City.
Yes, it was.
Now, you might wonder why I'm bringing up Viacom, and why I think this might be related. Have you noticed that, for those of you that go on Twitter, each person on Twitter has an avatar, a little picture.
Mm-hmm.
Many people use pictures of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Many people do not.
Yep.
I use a picture that appears on our Blog Talk Radio website.
Yep.
I use that same picture all over the place. It's on my blogs. It's on my website. It's a picture of me about 2 years ago. I haven't really changed much from 2 years ago. I'm still pretty much the same kind of person. In any case, what was it? 2 weeks ago? No, 10 days ago? It was about 2 weeks ago. South Park, the cable comedy show, cartoon, was going to have an episode in which they made fun of Muhammad.
Yep, Comedy Central.
It was going to be basically one sentence, about 3 seconds in an entire half-hour show.
Yep.
Where it was going to make fun of Muhammad.
Yep.
Whoa! You'd think somebody took the Quran and pissed on it.
Exactly. And then flush it down the toilet after burning it.
Yeah, Muslims just went absolutely berserk, and they threatened South Park with all kinds of mayhem, and
mm-hmm.
South Park going, okay, we won't do that.
Mm.
Now, this prompted a woman in Seattle, Portland, up in the Pacific Northeast,
mm-hmm.
to lament that South Park had caved to Fundy Muslim terrorists, and
yep.
they should not have done so. So she suggested that we have a Draw a Muhammad Cartoon Day.
Yeah.
Two guys, I think they're in Ohio, thought that was a great idea, so they put up a website so that people could add their cartoons. Well, guess what happened? The threats came out of the woodwork. The woman said it was just a tweet. I really didn't mean anything by it. It was taken out of context.
So
I had nothing
sorry.
To do with it. Don't talk to me. And I didn't have anything to do with the website.
Yep.
The guys that put up the website took it down like 8 hours later and didn't want to talk to anybody about it. I'm sitting here thinking, well, this is stupid. So I took my picture, my avatar from Twitter, and I took a Muhammad cartoon, and I stylized my picture with one of the cartoons and put it up on Twitter. Now, all this relates to the fact that Comedy Central is owned and produced, or distributed, not owned, but is distributed by who? Who?
Ooh,
Viacom.
Maybe Viacom? Oh,
Viacom.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, this non-40-year-old non-white man.
Yes. more specifically, a 30-year-old Muslim man from Pakistan.
Naturalized American citizen from Pakistan.
From a year ago.
Yeah. Apparently is being foreclosed on, and he blames Bush.
Yep.
Now, I don't understand how he would be blaming Bush for his mortgage foreclosure, and therefore Viacom should suffer.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Yeah, a little weak there.
So.
Yep.
It turns out that, of course, we don't have a 40-year-old, you know, Tea Party extremist trying to blow up things. We've got another, you know, Muslim jihadist trying to blow up a capitalistic company, whether it's for a foreclosure, which is stupid and makes no sense. Why is Viacom in the thing? You know, it appears that Viacom makes more sense to that.
Yep.
You know, the whole thing stinks to high hell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, of course, is why I use the phrase Michael Bloomberg's brain fart.
Yep.
Apparently, the mainstream media is just pissed that it wasn't a Tea Partyist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Contessa Brewer, she had a whole rant on that and said not to, you know, not to make this more than it is, but she said that she just really had hoped that it would not be anyone connected with the Muslim faith. Now, if it isn't connected with the Muslim faith, what does that leave you? Doesn't leave you a whole lot of alternatives, because then she goes on to bring up McVeigh.
You know, and I look, Timothy McVeigh was a piece of shit.
Yes, he was.
Not worth the spit on the ground.
Yep.
He got exactly what
he was looking for.
You know, I don't want to claim him. I don't want to own him. But here's what I have to say. His bomb went off.
Yeah, he was a little more competent.
Stupid is stupid does.
Yep.
Okay? No? I don't want to give him a whole lot of credit for anything, but, you know, it did go off.
Yes, it did. And he used the right kind of fertilizer.
So, you know, if the left wants to give us Timothy McVeigh, I'm sitting like going, okay, he's a piece of shit, but, you know, he actually knows how to make bombs. You know?
Yeah,
your guys,
that work.
You know, your guys, stupid piece of shits, stupid piece of shits, but you still own them. They're still yours.
Yeah.
Timothy McVeigh, you know, he's dead. But, you know, you go ahead and give us Timothy McVeigh. You know, DMV system?
Yeah, I didn't get that reference either. I'm
Buzz
Zero. I'm not sure I'm understanding that. The DMV system for disasters.
Government run disaster control.
Well, there you go. That'd work too.
That's true. The last thing I want to say about my avatar. I'm really pissed. Really, really seriously pissed. Because that avatar has been up now for days. And you know how many threats I've gotten? You know how many hate emails I've gotten? You know how many hate tweets I've gotten?
Yeah?
None.
Oh, man. All that work and nothing?
None. Everybody's going, cool picture. Great avatar. That's pretty good. Left and right. People on the left and people on the right. All saying, what'd you do that for? Oh, yeah, okay, got it. Yeah, come on. Where's all the hate?
Yeah, really. Come on.
Oh, it's not funny.
Oh, Lord.
Thinking about, maybe I should do a different one. Anyways, I'm putting it up there for all of May in honor of Draw Muhammad Cartoon Day, which I'm still going to celebrate on the 20th of May, and I'm going to take my avatar picture and put it on my blog. Big picture. Big, huge, blown-up picture of it. On May 20th, I'm going to do that right there. Somebody said, you're insulting Muslims, and I'm like, have you looked at my picture?
Yeah, really.
Have you looked at that picture? Really?
I mean, lately?
I mean, if you want to look at that picture and say that I'm insulting Muslims, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
So, Times Square bomber is a Muslim, a registered registered Democrat.
Democrat.
A contributor to the Obama campaign, apparently.
Yeah,
I don't believe any of that.
That part I'm not sure about, but yeah.
I don't believe any of that shit. I don't believe that his house is being foreclosed on, even though it's being foreclosed on. I don't believe that he's pissed off at George Bush. You know, of course, if he's pissed off at George Bush, that absolutely means that he's not a Tea Partier.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and apparently if he is actually a Tea Party fanatic, kind of shoots the shit out of the idea that it's just old white men.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
You know,
oh, man.
No matter which way you look at this, it's not our fault.
No, I'm pretty hard to get there from here.
So,
you know?
Now there was something else, and I want you to pay attention to this. There was something else that I don't think anybody else has noticed. Nobody else notices. Now, he did this on Times Square on Sunday night.
Yes.
Do you know what happened just ten blocks away from that Times Square just 12 hours later?
No.
I'm a Dinner Jacket was speaking at the UN.
Ooh, yes he did. He did do that.
Now I have a question for you.
Okay.
I'm a Dinner Jacket is speaking at the UN, and there's an explosion in Times Square just 12 hours earlier.
Now.
I'm a Dinner Jacket would have said that we did that on purpose so that he couldn't speak at the UN?
Ooh. Oh, well, now there's a twist. There's a twist.
Because once he started speaking, the United States, Great Britain, and France
yeah,
got up and walked out.
Yes, they did.
That was, I've got to say this about Barack Obama, because you know he had to say yes to this.
Yes, he did.
He had to say that.
He had to say
yes, go ahead, let the delegation walk out if he just starts getting all nutsoed. So
yep.
Barack Obama, you know, he didn't leave that hand open. You know, he just pulled it back in a little bit,
Yep. Yes, he did. Actually, you know what? He's done that twice now because we did the same thing last year.
So, you know, maybe Obama is willing to let people stay in their home countries and badmouth the United States, but he doesn't want them showing up on our soil doing it.
Maybe.
No, that's not. That can't be it.
Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing in his personality that suggests that he has any kind of cojones like that. Any kind of cojones.
Yeah, well. But 2 years in a row, I mean, that's kind of consistent.
Yeah.
I'm looking to try to give the guy a break here.
Yeah.
What
do all of these have in common? You know, Barack Obama, the New York Times, Michael Bloomberg, clock.
Basically they want to blame the Tea Party, but that ain't flying.
No. All right.
No matter how far ahead they try to get on that, it ain't flying.
Let's they really, really want the Tea Parties to be something that there's no indication whatsoever that they are.
Exactly. I mean, God, just take a look at the Tea Party demonstrations so far. So far, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
No arrest, no damage.
No, nothing. Just, I mean, they leave the place cleaner and they find it, okay? Then take a look at this whole brouhaha over Arizona. And so what happens? The people that are in favor of amnesty and open borders and all that kind of stuff go out, and what do? In Atlanta, in
Santa Cruz,
and in a couple of other places, they simply tear the place up. And what does the lamestream media say? They were probably infiltrated by these anarchists. And it's like, geez, how much slack are you going to give there? Give me a break, folks.
I do think it's rather interesting that they have gotten smarter in the fact that most of these immigration rallies have now started bringing American flags.
Yes, they have. I mean, they've got Mexican flags there too, but they are, in fact, wrapping themselves up in the American flag.
Yeah.
Not that does them a lot of good, but nevertheless, they're at least trying.
The entire immigration debate, you and I have talked about it before.
Yep.
I am firstborn of immigrant parents.
Yep.
When my parents came to this country, they had to register with the government. They had to provide their address of residence. They had to provide the name and address of my father's employer. They had to do it annually.
Yep, absolutely.
They could not get welfare. They could not get social services. They could not get free medical services. They could not get food stamps. None of those things were available to my parents as resident aliens, which is what they were at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They maintained that status for 5 years until they became citizens. My father could not come to this country without a job. He had to have a sponsor, a job, and a place to live.
Yep.
Before he was given permission to come here, which he did. All of the above. Any argument that somebody wants to make about illegal immigration is going to run smack into my family's, history with regard to immigration.
Absolutely.
And there is no path to citizenship. Get the fuck out of the country and get in line.
Absolutely.
Period.
Yeah.
Period. That's all there is to it. Somebody said, well, don't you want a path to citizenship? Nope.
Yeah. That was easy.
Well, what about people that have been here for 20 years? So? Get out. No path to citizenship. You've been here illegally. Go away.
Yeah.
Got no use for it.
Yep.
And by the way, my parents, lifelong Democrats, never voted for a Republican in their lives, as far as I know, as far as they're willing to admit. My father was in a union in the city of Chicago. Give me a break. Not only do they know who you voted for, they've got, the fingernail, clippings to prove it. My parents are absolutely PO'd about any attempts to deal with the illegal immigration in a way that gives them shamnesty. They're very opposed to it. Very, very opposed to it.
Yep, absolutely.
And they're supportive of the Arizona law. As I am I, the one or two minor, really infinitesimal concerns that I had about it, after I got a chance to read the parts of the law that were dealt with those areas, I have no problems with it. None.
Yep.
Zero.
Yep.
Zero.
None at all.
And Did this happen? When did this happen? I think this happened after the show last week.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it happened on Thursday or Friday. I got pulled over.
Oops.
On, let's call it Thursday. I think it was Thursday. I got pulled over on Thursday. We came to a stoplight, and a cop was standing at the stoplight, and he walked over, and I rolled my window down, and he goes, "Can you see that officer down, way down there in the green jacket?" I said, "Yes." He goes, "Would you please go over and see him? You're being stopped for failure to wear your seatbelt."
Ooh.
And the light turned green, and I pulled away, and I tried to decide how I was going to deal with this.
Yep.
I tell everybody, every one of our clients, and I'm telling you on the radio show, and I would tell you, I've said this on my blog, and I've said it to my friend Bill Quick, who thinks it's, you know, kowtowing to the police state. A police officer has two things. The unrestricted power to arrest you right here, right now,
yep,
because he has a hangnail.
Yep.
And he has a gun.
Yeah, that's pretty important too, by the way.
Okay. So, when a police officer starts to talk to you, you will be polite, respectful, and do whatever the fuck you're told!
Exactly.
Idiots!
Yeah.
You don't get into a fight with a cop. He can
nope.
arrest you, and
yep.
he's got a gun.
Yes. Yep.
So I pulled over to the man with the green jacket, and he said, "Please pull in there." And I said, "Yes, sir." And then they said, "I don't want you to pull in there. Pull over here." And I pulled over there, and another officer came up and said, "I want you to know why you've been stopped today. Do you know why?" I said, "I was told I'm not wearing a seatbelt. As you can see, I'm not wearing my seatbelt." Because I still hadn't put it on.
Ah.
And he goes, "Do you know that it is a primary enforcement law now that you must be wearing your seatbelt?" I went, "Yes." "I'm going to give you a ticket now." I'm like, "Yeah. Okay. There's my
yeah.
life."
Yep.
And then he turned to Victoria, who's in the seat next to me. He goes, "You're going to get a ticket too?" And she went, "Huh?"
Shit.
She goes, "I'm not driving."
as if that had anything to do with it, but yeah.
he goes, "As a passenger in the front seat, you're supposed to be wearing your seatbelt." And she's like, "But I'm an attorney."
Oh, jeez. A little professional
courtesy. I carried
Victoria's
ID, and I gave her the driver's license. So anyways, he took the license, and then because we just bought the vehicle, and
yeah.
I just transferred the plates, you know, DMV hasn't caught up. So he
came
back
and
said, "These plates don't belong on this vehicle." And I went, "Yeah, we just bought the vehicle on Thursday. The guy's supposed to be taking care of it with DMV. We just went and moved the plates." He goes, "They came back up." I said, "Yeah, on a 96 Isuzu Rodeo." He goes, "Well, yeah, that's correct. You got, you know, a sales order?" I went, "No." Because, you know, the guy's a wholesaler. He's not a retailer. He's a wholesaler.
Right.
You know. And anyways, she, you know, he's like, "Well, you know, you're not allowed to do that." And I'm like, "Yeah, I got that."
Yeah.
But we did it anyways, and, you know, it's not a big deal. So he goes, "I can give you a ticket for that." And I'm like, "Yes, you can." And then he walked back to his thing, and he was gone for like 5 minutes. And I'm sitting there going, and I still haven't put my seatbelt on. Victoria has put her seatbelt on. I
oh, really?
On. And I'm sitting there kind of going, how much do I want to push this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, because, you know, he's a cop. He doesn't make the laws. He's just, you know, he's just got to deal with the fact that he's enforcing them.
Yep.
Okay? Now, understand, it wasn't just me. There was 9 cars pulled over while I was there, and as one left, another one got yanked.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a primary enforcement thing. It was, you know, it was all set up. They're run them through, you know, grind them and rind them. So there was lots of people getting them. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, I'm going to be polite, but I'm not going to put my seatbelt on.
Yeah.
And so he comes back and he gives us the tickets. It's $10. Whoop-dee-doo.
Really?
There's
is
no
that
point.
All it is?
That's it. $10. There's no points on the license. You can have. You could get 500 of these things, and all it's going to cost you is 10 bucks a ticket. Okay. So.
Wow.
So $10 ticket, no points. I'm sure the insurance company is not real happy about not seeing them, but.
Yeah,
you know,
I
don't have collision on the car, so it's like, yeah. And then he looked at me. He goes, thank you. And then he looked at me, and I looked at him. And then he just turned his eyes and walked away.
Huh.
Because he looked right at my shoulder to see if I had the seatbelt on.
Yeah.
And I know it. He wanted to say something. And he took one look at me and went, yeah, no.
Yeah, I already got you a ticket. I'm done.
I did not get a ticket for the license plate thing. Smart boy.
You know,
it wouldn't have made any difference. And I'm just sitting there like going, and Victoria goes, you're not going to put your seatbelt on? I went, no. She goes, you know, as soon as you turn this corner, he can come back to you and give you another ticket. I said, if he wants to do that, we can do this down this whole road all afternoon long.
Yep.
He can pull me over and give me another ticket in 500 feet. And pull me over and give me another ticket in 500 feet.
Yep.
First of all, it's $10. Second of all, it's no points. And third of all, by the time he gets to about 5 or 6, I'm going to be able to take it to the judge, and he's just going to have a field day with this stupid cop.
Yeah, exactly.
So I drove away. I didn't have my seatbelt on.
Huh.
Guess how many times I put my seatbelt on since then?
How many?
Exactly the same number of times I've put it on this year.
Hmm.
None.
She doesn't wear seatbelts.
I don't wear a seatbelt.
Hmm.
Haven't done it. Won't do it. If it costs me $10 every 3 or 4 months, so be it.
Well, it's a little stiffer out here in California. You may want to rethink that.
No.
Like 185, I don't know, by the time they add the court costs and everything else on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Victoria said she's going to fight it, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'll send you $10 in.
Yep, exactly. But she's going to fight hers?
Huh?
She's going to
fight
hers?
No.
No, okay.
Fight it. Lima, that is, Bill has wind chimes in the background. That's what he has.
Mm. I can see I need to go back inside then, huh? Okay, fine.
Well, I heard the breeze and I heard the wind chimes.
Yep, so. Okay.
Damn. I like wind chimes. I don't mind them.
I love wind chimes,
as you can
hear.
Yeah, I like wind chimes. I've got 3 sets of wind chimes around our house. I like them.
All right.
They're fine.
Okay.
I don't mind them. And they're not that intrusive.
Yeah.
And you got bamboo ones, so they're cool.
Yeah, yeah. I've got, let me see here. Look out here. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 6 wind chimes out here in front. Only one of which is bamboo, and it's the only one that really gets any action. The others are pretty small, and actually 7. Forgot about the horse one.
I had a very nice bamboo one, but after 3 winters here, it just
fell apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No longer.
I've got a big aluminum tube one that I'm looking for the right kind of string to put on it. Other than that,
yeah, I've got 2 metal tubes and 1 aluminum tube around the house. I like them.
Yeah.
I like wind chimes. All right, so we don't have a whole lot of time left.
Okay.
You know, the Arizona immigration. The only thing I was thinking is, you know, there's some cities and states wanting to boycott Arizona, and I'm thinking like, you know, you know, Barack Obama may have gotten the idea that, you know, this is not something that he wants to get involved in.
Oh, yeah.
While he made lots of comments last week, he hasn't made any comments this week. You know, maybe he's busy!
He's busy!
You know,
oh, man.
This is a losing proposition, people. You know, anybody wants to... Oh, no. Bill,
uh-oh.
You drink highballs?
I do.
Yeah, I figured you did.
I do.
Man. You old
I'm bourbon and seven, as a matter of fact.
It's a losing proposition. It really is. Go ahead and, you know, go ahead against Arizona. It's just not likely to be real helpful to you.
No, it is.
We've got primaries going on in North Carolina, Indiana, Ohio.
Yep.
Pennsylvania.
Incidentally, Pantera won.
North Carolina.
Yep.
Right? North Carolina?
Yep.
So, you know, we'll have a little bit of talking, some stuff about that next week. I don't think we'll get too volunteered. You know, it's state stuff. I mean, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Those are important.
I know.
Yep.
I know. You know, the American Conservative Party is moving ahead and getting more organized and more states involved, and we've got people running. So I mean, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a doing thing.
It is. Get involved, folks. I mean, you know, I think that's the best advice anybody can have is get involved. Get out there, promote your candidate. You know, run for office yourself. Doesn't matter if that's school board on up. Just you have to get involved, because if you don't get involved, then what you're stuck with is complaining about the people that are running. And, you know, you can complain all
quit
you want.
Quit being busy!
That's right.
Quit being busy!
That's right. You know, but, you know, complaining doesn't get you a whole lot. If you're running things, that gets you something.
Yeah, remember, they got guns.
Yeah, they do.
Complain all you want, they got guns.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right.
Yep.
We have a couple minutes. Let's see. So I got that. Immigration, Times Square, Tennessee flooding, I'm a dinner jacket, Avatar, oil spill. What am I missing? What is something else going on?
I don't think so. I'm not really. I mean, those are the big main topics of the day. They're the ones that are drawing the interest and people are tweeting about, and the lamestream media is trying to cover and not doing a very good job. You know, that's actually pretty interesting. Lamestream media circulation is going down. Viewership is going down. And
Taxes are going up.
Yeah, they are. Murdoch was on Cavuto today and saying, you know, we had a really good year and our ad revenue is up 25%. Our viewership is up about 1%. Things is looking pretty good. And I'm saying, yes, right on.
Oh, that's what it was.
What?
That's what it was.
What?
Apparently... the oil spill
is
going to be Barack Obama's excuse for the double-dip recession.
Oh, really?
That's what it was.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about it, but apparently that's what he's going to use as his thing. Anyways, we got 30 seconds left, dude.
Yep, okay. Just me, Pammy, Arkansas Traveler, Mama Gurkha, Louisa Mom, Hippie Chick, come on, nay. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate all y'all listening, paying attention, tweeting. That's a really nice way to do things. get involved.
Yes.
Bill and I are involved. We're doing things. Bill, I'll talk to you next week. We'll see what goes on.
Yep. We're going to be
good
here.
Good night, everyone. See
good
you
night, all.
In the green room.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the green room.
All righty. We're
there.
Have
you had dinner yet? Have you had dinner tonight?
Actually, as a no-no. I have not yet had dinner. Oops.
Okay,
just
so you can't stay around too long.
No,
I've accomplished all of my required work for today.
You did what?
I have accomplished all of my required work for today.
Oh, really? How cool.
I have no petitions waiting.
Yeah?
Victoria had her medical appointment on her foot today, so she has new goop in her gup.
Ooh. Ugh.
Working on that.
Yep.
So I'm actually like tomorrow. Oh, that's why. This wasn't for the show. This is good for the green room.
Okay.
Our homeowners association.
Yes.
Gets together with the other two homeowners associations in the neighborhood, and they pick a weekend that the whole neighborhood's going to have their neighborhood garage sales.
Oh, cool. Okay.
It's always in May.
Okay.
And no matter which weekend they pick, we can always guarantee about two things. We can absolutely guarantee two things. Whichever weekend they pick, we can guarantee two things.
And?
It's going to rain, and it's going to be cold. Today,
well, that's why you have them in garages.
It was 79 degrees today. Sun.
Yeah.
And a little breezy.
Yeah.
Gorgeous day. Gorgeous day.
Yeah?
Thursday, it's going to be 53 and raining.
Oh, Jesus.
Friday, 56 and rain. Saturday, 54. Four and rain.
Oh, man. it may not perhaps be as bad as what's happened in Tennessee and stuff, but, man, you guys aren't having any luck with that. God.
You know, I cut my grass on this week on Sunday for the first time this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, found three surveillance teams out there. Boy, were they pissed.
Yes. Oh, man, I'll tell you. I've got that same problem here. I've got a whole lot of native grasses that have just grown up and are headed out and that kind of stuff. And my doggone string mower is down, been down a week. And hopefully the part comes in tomorrow. Got no spark to it. None at all. So we'll see.
I only had a couple places where it was up to my knees.
Uh-huh.
Only a couple places. I was losing the cat and the dogs in the grass, so
yep.
I really needed to be done.
Yep.
And I tried to call someone on Friday to see if they would come out and do it.
Yeah.
You know, and... You know, the company had two phone numbers, so I called the first number, no answer.
Oh, boy, okay.
So I called the second number and got a person. She goes, you know, I'm helping my grandmother with a garage sale today. Can you call back and leave me a phone number and address, and, you know, I'll just let it go to voicemail, and I'll see if I can drop by there today, give you a quote. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Thanks.
Nope. Well, see, now Arizona's going to solve your problem. Arizona's going to kick out all of their illegals, and they're going to go other places, and some of them will wander up there to your state, and there you go. You're going to have all of the yard service stuff you want.
You know, when I lived in California, I never mowed our grass. We had 2.5 acres. I never had to mow our grass.
Really?
Yeah, I had a goat.
There you go. That'll work.
And we had wild rye.
Yep.
So goat was perfectly well fed, and, you know, he kept it pretty cropped pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, horses will do that too. My pasture is bare bones.
Yep. So, I don't know about you. Let me tell you, tick season here, horrifying.
Yeah?
Last week, took the dogs out, you know, in the morning, came back, found 3 ticks.
Oh, my God.
Now, it's the first time I checked them all weekend, so, you know, who knows where they picked them up. Uh-huh. Later that afternoon, took them back out, same general area, brought them back in, found 5 ticks. Went, whoa, wait a second. Whoa, what did I do, find the next?
Yeah.
You know, so clean them all off. You know, later on that evening, took them to an entirely different area.
Yeah.
Came back in, found more, 4 more.
Oh, man.
I was sitting there like going, this is nuts. They're all browns, all little brown ticks.
Yeah, all little brown.
And then the next morning, Victoria says, you know, the dogs have been sniffing around my feet all day. And I go, well, what's going on? Because I don't know what's going on. And so we deal with graphics, and I look down, and, you know, I don't know what kind they are. I just call them lima bean ticks. So they're about the size and color of a lima bean.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Big hunking things, you know, just walking across the carpet. I'm like, Jesus Christ, got rid of him. And then Victoria had an eye appointment, so we went off to the eye appointment, and she decided she wasn't going to use her a wheelchair to the doctor's appointment, which was, we do usually because it's a lot of walking.
Mm-hmm.
But her eye doctor, it's really short walks. It's really not a big deal. So she decided to take a walk, and she was in shorts. And she went into the elevator ahead of me, and I happened to look down, and off the back of her knee, you know, and it was a brown tick.
I'll be darned.
You know,
huh.
So, you know, because the problem is, you know, the dogs are always wandering around her feet.
Yep.
You know, she drops crumbs, they just, you know, practically sit there and live there.
Exactly.
You know, so I was kind of concerned by that, but, you know, and because they will, she'll throw off her blanket that's close to her chair, and they'll sleep on the blanket when she's not using it, and then she puts the blanket back up on. So it's just, you know, I just something that I watch out for during the spring. But I just can't believe it. So I don't take the dogs in that area at all at this point.
Wow. Wow.
Just, you know, I have to wait for them to go through that area and mow it before I can start going back over in that area.
Yeah. Well, but once you get it mowed, then things are back to normal.
Once they mow it once, because it's a fairly weedy area.
Yeah.
The taller grasses don't get a good chance to grow. The weeds are all low weeds, like dandelions and stuff like that.
Yep.
So there's less opportunity for the ticks to be picked up.
Yep.
In that regard. So.
Yep. That's a good thing.
I think I told you about this. I took one tick off of their nose. The nose. I need a tick on the nose.
How in the world does it get on the nose?
Because they're running. The stupid dogs are sniffing all over the place. You know, I mean, that's the one place where a dog is sensitive. You know, you'd think they'd feel it and you know, brush it off.
Or something. You know, geez.
I got stupid dogs. What do I?
Yeah, what can you say?
I got all short hairs, so it's like, you know, you know, I can see a tick in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, on them, but, you know, on the nose, it's stupid dogs.
Yeah. Well, so far I've been lucky with mine. We haven't had any big tick outbreaks, but we'll see what happens. Okay.
You know, I know in Southern California I don't have to worry too much about it.
Probably not. I mean, a little bit, but not a bunch, for sure.